And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Michael, and I'm being joined from Hockey Hot Stove. He is one of the PWHL writers for the website, Mr. Rob Del Mundo. Rob, how's it going, bud?
Fantastic. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And so real quick, before we hop into this PWHL Walter Cup playoffs preview episode, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is brought to you by Oats Overnight. When we're on the go but still need breakfast, Oats Overnight is the healthy on-the-go breakfast choice for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link in the description on both TXHTHockey.com and in the YouTube show description to get a $20 discount on Oats Overnight today. So with that, it is now time. The regular season's over. The PWHL, properly titled Walter Cup Playoffs, is going to be on its underway today, starting off with the Ottawa Charge taking on the Boston Fleet. I just have to say this. I said it's properly named. Rob, do you ever feel that, you know, with it being the Walter Cup, that it was always weird that it was called the PWHL Playoffs and the PWHL Finals, when in a way they kind of mimic the NHL, and the NHL has always called it the Stanley Cup playoffs, not the NHL playoffs?
I didn't really consider it weird or one way or the other, especially since, from day one in January 1st, 2024, we had to morph from PWHL Toronto because the teams didn't have nicknames and logos and whatever. So it's been non-conventional anyway. And I've been used to this league, no disrespect, but doing things non-conventionally because of the lack of logos and team names until the second year. My thing is and it's, maybe it's the writer part in me. It's always final versus finals versus, for me, it's Stanley Cup final and or NBA finals. If you want the way I always write thing, it's there's one final series. It's a final. It, to me, it's a Stanley Cup final. When the NBA calls it the NBA finals, why do you call it finals? It's only one final series. And that's where the plurality versus singularity is my pet peeve. Okay, so however you want to brand it, for Walter Cup playoffs or PWHL playoffs, I'm indifferent to. As long as you call it the Walter Cup final, one L when it comes to it. But that's my hill I die on.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, because the PWHL and... and I agree on the writer side. It is final, not finals. So it was weird seeing, when I'm creating graphics on my end for the website and for social media, it's PWHL finals, because that's the graphics that's provided to us, the media, to work with. So it was always kind of weird that way. But I just think when you put a focus on the title itself, when it comes to the playoffs, I think it generates more interest in it, because there's a reason, you never hear anyone say the NHL playoffs. It's always the Stanley Cup playoffs, because that is the trophy that everyone's playing for. I know the MLB playoffs is a little weird because it's the MLB playoffs and then it's the World Series for the championship game. So they have it done slightly differently, which is, I'm okay with that, but I just like the fact that it's now called the PWHL Walter Cup playoffs, because I think that's a little better than just PWHL playoffs. And that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, you always have to brand it. You made a great point in terms of branding and everything for recognition. But what's interesting is we all call it the Stanley Cup playoffs, but an interesting fun fact that we can Google at any point, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs or whatever. If you want to really be really technical, the actual technical name for the postseason, if you want to call it that, is the NHL Championship Series. That's what it's called. But nobody ever recognizes it that, even though that's the actual technical name for the series. But yeah, to your point about branding,
I am looking, I am
crazy.
Googling that right now. So you're ready for this? When you Google NHL Championship Series, the first two things that come up are Wikipedia that just says list of Stanley Cup champions and Stanley Cup playoffs. And then the next three are from the NHL, which is just NHL 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs bracket, first round schedule, and then 2024-25 playoff results. But it doesn't show anything saying that unless I go through the rabbit hole and yeah, and when you
I'm
go
going
through
by my.
the thing in here, it
It's
actually.
possible that they've updated the official guide and record book, and from the media guide from when I last cross-referenced it back in the days where you remember those old 8x11 media guides? They don't do paper media guides anymore. But remember when the NHL
Unfortunately.
official media guide record book had, Mark Messier and Bob Gainey, and maybe in latter years Mario Lemieux and maybe Scott Stevens on the cover. Yes, it was the NHL Championship Series. So, granted, maybe they have since revamped the official guide and record book to the digital age. Maybe that's the way, so that because you can't buy those books anymore. It's
It's it, which is unfortunate because some of those books are very valuable resources when it
yes.
comes to a lot of things. But anyways, we can go on about marketing and names
Yeah.
and all this other fun stuff, but
All right.
what people want to hear is talking about the PWHL and the Walter Cup playoffs. And as I mentioned, starting today, the Ottawa Charge will be taking on the Boston Fleet to kick off the Walter Cup playoffs in Boston. This is a very interesting one because this is the series of no matter what, one of the two teams that played in the final in the past 2 years is guaranteed to go to the final.
Yes.
Because Boston played the first year, Ottawa played last year. So, one way or the other, either Boston or Ottawa is going to be in the final for the second time. What are your thoughts on this series, especially the fact given that this is really going to be a goaltending battle between Gwennett Phillips and Aaron Frankel?
Yeah, so it's like hooray Team USA, you've got your gold medalists going 1-2 facing off against each other. It's going to be a great series. It's going to be a war of attrition. So you've got Ottawa winning three of the four head-to-head matchups during the regular season. What's interesting about this series is that each of the four games in this series needed extra time to decide it. So it's a war of attrition. All the games were decided in either regulation or overtime. So you're gonna have like if the regular season is any indication, then when it comes to the playoffs, you're bound to see up the playoffs. When it comes to the overtime session, you're gonna have like this attrition where they're gonna let's see, all four games of the series. I'm just cheating a bit and going through the media. No, all four games of the season head to head required extra time. The Charge won three of the four matchups. There we go, including three shootouts. But you're not gonna have the shootout in the playoffs type of thing. So it's like you're gonna have players who are well rested, and you're gonna have, like, as you alluded to, the goalies going back. It first starts in goal, of course, with Frankel versus Phillips, and then you've got unsung heroes on both sides. Like, I think last time I was on, it's like, yeah, what can you say about Rebecca Leslie, whose career just seemed to be like in kind of in limbo for a bit, or at least certainly not to the conversation this year when she's one of the league's top scorers. It's like, wow, where does this come from? It's like if you were to pick the top scorers for Ottawa, where's this all this offense is going to come from? You I mean you would think, okay, maybe Captain Brienne Jenner, Olympian, would be at the top there. But I would not have picked Leslie over there. And then for Boston, then obviously, like, I think I alluded last time, like Alina Mueller, like recency bias because she was the most recent guest on the Jocks and Jills podcast. But Alina Mueller is just a future Hall of Famer. It's like you don't have to play for Canada or the United States to be considered for the Hall of Fame. I mean, thanks to Riikka Salonen getting in a couple years ago from Finland. But Mueller, I mean, you look at what she did, like as an Olympian at age 15 to win a bronze medal in Sochi. And then here we are, like, I mean, 12 years later, now she's winning bronze, and she's just not just winning bronze, but taking that Swiss team on her back. And then similarly with the Boston Fleet, where the offense is going to be led by her. Yeah, it's going to be a great series, and it's going to be, it's just so evenly matched that when you consider that, as I said, when they went head to head for four games, neither team got a regulation win. And especially if you're not going to have shootouts in overtime, it's like get ready for get ready for, like, I mean, are we going to see like the double or triple overtime games that we saw in the between Minnesota and Ottawa in the finals last year? Who knows?
Oh,
But it's going to
I
be,
mean, Ottawa Montreal last year in the semifinal was fantastic because that
yeah.
had like three, four overtime periods and it was
Yeah.
fun. It was great to watch. I loved watching the Montreal Ottawa series last year. I'm not gonna lie, it was actually better than some of the series that was going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was that entertaining. But I want to bring it back to the goalies real quick. I have the stats up in front of me for this season. Gwenna Phillips is a 16 has 16 wins, 11 losses, doesn't show any in overtime, but one loss in the shootout, three shutouts, a goals against average of 2.12, and a save percentage of 0.931. And then you look at Frankel, 19 wins, four losses, one loss in overtime, two losses in the shootout, and then eight shutouts, a
Yeah.
1.17 goals against average, and a 0.953 save percentage. I mean, she's probably going to get goalie of the year, Frankel, hands down. Like, those are just insane stats to have. But when you look at that, yeah, Ottawa got three of the four, in the season, but it took the extra time. When you're Ottawa, what's the strategy that you're looking at to go against this Boston team, and especially trying to crack Frankel more so in regulation and trying not to have to win it in overtime?
Well, I would just say score, jump out early if you can. And if I can expand on that, what's interesting is that Gwyneth, and I think I heard it on the podcast, I mean, it's like, I mean, all the credit to her for, like, I mean, being defending playoff MVP. If you can get to Phillips early, then you might rattle her a little bit. But if Phillips has a couple of early saves, and the perfect example is game 30 when Toronto needed that regulation win unsuccessfully to beat Ottawa for that fourth and final playoff spot. Within the first 30 seconds, Blair Turnbull had a breakaway, boom, stopped by Phillips, and then Phillips had a save earlier on. So then once Phillips got those two early saves, that was it. That's when you can shut the opponent down if you're Ottawa, and then Phillips will get into that groove. But if you can if the opposing team will crack Phillips earlier on with an early goal, it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do now? And it's like, so that's yellow flag if you're Ottawa. So then to bring it back to your point, if you are Ottawa, then try to get to Frankel early. Try to get that first goal, because then Phillips will have that much more confidence behind her. But I mean, like you said, with Frankel, those stats are insane. Goalie of the year, hands down. And it's like, I am now a voting member of the PWHL. I got that email from Haley the other day, with the asking everybody to put their votes in. So I mean, I haven't submitted my ballot yet, but full disclosure here, breaking scoop, Frankel's gonna be my MVP. And that is no disrespect to Kelly Panic. We can discuss that if you want to. But Frank, like you said, eight shutouts. I mean, my goodness gracious me. You're like 1.71, I think you said. I mean, that's just unreal.
It
Off the chart.
was one point, yeah,
1.7.
1.17. 1.1
1.17.
1.17 goals against average,
Oh my
and
gosh, I
here's one
disrespected her by 0.6 goals per game. My bad. No, no.
but here's the other thing, and I want to throw this out there super quick. Frankel only played 26 games, Phillips played 28.
Okay.
So like she has, I mean, yeah, it's two games, but that's two games of a difference that still just shows the type of dominance that Frankel has.
Yes.
So, One of my next questions for you in this is that, in your opinion, who are some of the key players on both the Fleet and the Charge people should be keeping an eye out for in this playoff series? Like, who do you think, not necessarily the game breakers, but somebody who's going to play it an impact or an impact role that's going to help their teams to potentially advance to the Walker Cup final?
So a couple of things with that. It is if you look at Boston and you look at what Jessie Eldridge is doing, it's like she had a couple cups of coffee with Team Canada, but never really progressed to the Olympic stage. But I mean, she was great in New York, and then went over to Seattle and did just fine. But then in that trade for Teresa Schaffsdahl, ever since she's come on to Boston, it's like Eldridge has just taken it to another level. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but in
So I
terms
have
of
them here in front of me.
the stats, the game log, I was just going to bring up her game log. And it is a matter of she had like if you go all the way back to the month of April here, so I'm going like from April 7th, it's like one, two, three, it's like 6 goals in 6 games, 2 goals against Vancouver, and then against Minnesota, then Montreal, then New York, like six goals, and and 3 points in the last six. She's just taking it to another level. So I'm going to keep an eye on Jessie Eldridge, and if I can throw in a shout out for one of the rooks, Abby Newhook, who has done well in compiling 7 goals, 7 assists in her inaugural NHL season. But what's interesting, my media colleague in Toronto, Kyle Cushman, he's like really good with the stats. And one of the stats was mentioned on the pod the other day. And this one just blows my mind. Abby Newhook, through the entire PWHL regular season, was not on the ice for a single 5-on-5 goal. Like, just think about that for a second. Like, I mean, on one hand, I'm not a huge fan of plus minus because being on the ice and whatever that be, but you can talk about it. I mean, I've never been a fan of plus minus ever since its inception. I think it has a lot of flaws. So it's not a, I'm not trying to introduce a debate into the plus minus as a legitimate stat, but there's something to be said about not being on the ice, for a goal for 30 games. That's wow. So I liked your question in terms of how we're going to assess it from a non or like a like an unsung hero point of view, if we can use that terminology, because we already talked about Mueller. We all talked about the outstanding goalies on both sides. So that's
So it's interesting that you bring up Eldridge and you're talking about like game logs. I'm looking at like just stats overall. When she was with the Torrent, she played 19 games for them, had 7 goals, 6 assists, 13 points. And I'm not gonna lie, that's respectable numbers in 13 in 19 games.
No,
Seven
especially
goals,
in an
six
elite,
assists,
it's so hard
13
to
points.
score. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think that's very respectable. And then when she comes to Boston in the 11 games played, she had 7 goals, 3 assists for 10 points. You know, so it's like in the 30 games played, she ended up with 14 goals, 9 assists for my 23 points. So like that's still very respectable numbers. It's like, yeah, she was almost a point per game player in Boston. But you can't, you know, she was playing very solid for Seattle at the same time too, you know, so it's just but sometimes I guess sometime like when you get moved midway through the season, it just adds that little bit of a spark to your game that's going to make you go, and especially the fact that Seattle's not in the playoffs and Boston is, that's going to give Eldridge a little bit more of a motivation of going like, hey, you guys gave up on me, but I'm going to help the Fleet now try to get the Walter Cup. So
Change of scenery. Sometimes just players, like we said, find that extra gear. I mean, we'll get to Montreal in a second, but I mean, you look at what Abbey Rock did after from coming over from New York. But sometimes just a change of scenery is can be the catalyst. And I'm just looking at what Eldridge has done. But yeah.
And then, what about for Ottawa? Who do you see as your unsung hero impact player that's not necessarily a game breaker?
Well, it's interesting about that. I mean, you take someone like Fanuja Kedrova, am I saying her name correctly? And maybe it's just recency or I don't want to say recency bias, but just that personality. I don't know. Okay, full disclosure, it's the hair. Okay, it's like it's standing out. It's just something about the way she her presence has been in terms of like getting into the corners and just being like the numbers maybe not don't necessarily bear it out in terms of like offensive prowess, you know, respectable 10 goals only to assist in 28 games, but see 10 goals to me, like, I mean, that screams like a player who's getting into the dirty areas. He's just making her presence felt like I said, going into the corners and whatnot. And then it's like, you know, and then when the game's over and she's taking off her helmet and all the flowing locks are flowing, I mean, how can you like not get behind Katarova as an unsung hero? Yeah, flowing locks. You gotta love my technical analysis, right? So, but
Yeah,
that's just
the first thing that came in
on
my head actually when
the
you mentioned the flowing hair was Whyte Goodman from the movie Dodgeball.
Okay.
There's a scene where they're playing dodgeball and he's just flying in the air and the commentators are just going, with a locks with beautiful flowing hair like that, how can you root against them? So, but yeah, but
And then,
anyone else that
no,
you see.
I gotta put a shout out to Michaela Cava, if for no other reason than history is on her side, basically, because in each of the previous 5 years she's played pro hockey, doesn't matter where it is, she's won the championship, whether it's the Swedish League or the Russian League. Then the PHF comes calling, and then she plays for the Toronto Six and wins the Isabel Cup with the Toronto Six. And then she gets picked up by Minnesota. Oh, I'm going to win two Walter Cups. So it's like you get that pick six player trade between Minnesota and Ottawa mid-season. So now that Cav is in Ottawa, Mikhaila is going to be on. Well, this is my 6 year. I cannot not win a championship this year. So there's my huge technical analysis for that. But yeah, no, unsung hero. I mean, I've always loved the way she's Cav is played. Like, I mean, like, you know, unsung hero. But you know, it's you. Yeah, championships are always a team-based, you know, accomplishment. Like, I mean, being a Leafs fan, you know, Gary Lehman, Stanley Cup winner in 1993. No, just because Gary Lehman has a Stanley Cup ring doesn't mean a damn thing. But when you win five championships, you know, in a row playing on four different teams, you're doing something right. So I'll throw my hat into the ring for Michaela Cava as an unsung hero.
All right. And then that takes us now over into the next series. Oh, actually, before we do that, who do you see winning this series, Boston or Ottawa, and how many games do you think it's going to need for this series?
You know, I'll say Boston in five. I'll go backwards first because of the tightness of the regular season series and every game going past regulation, I'm going to say a five game series regardless of who wins. And in terms of the winner itself, you know, I just you know, two great goalies as we said, but because it's just gonna be so hard to go against Aaron Franklin and the Boston Fleet. So I'll say Boston in five.
All right. And then that takes us into the second semifinal matchup between the Minnesota Frost and the Montreal Victoires. And this series right now, as of right now, as we're recording this, four of the games of the five game series for Boston Ottawa has been announced and on the schedule with dates and times. This series, Minnesota Montreal, only has three games on the schedule so far. I'm not saying that this is the PWHL's way of saying, hey, we've already told you how many games each series is going to need, but I kind of find it a little funny that it's set up this way. Granted, the real reason for it is because the Minnesota Wild and the Montreal
Yes.
Canadiens are still in the playoffs. That's the real
Arena
reason why.
availability, go figure.
Yeah, it's arena availability. But when we look at Minnesota Montreal, Montreal's coming in as the first seed. They got to pick their opponent. They picked the number three Minnesota Frost. The team who selects their opponent is 0-2 so far. Toronto selected Minnesota 2 years ago and lost to the Frost. Well, then PWHL Minnesota.
Yeah.
And And then obviously we know that the Frost went on to win the Walter Cup. And then last year, Montreal selected the Ottawa Charge, only to lose to the Ottawa Charge, who then lost to the Frost in the Walter Cup. When picking an opponent, it's either Minnesota or Ottawa that you're always going to be picking from, apparently. Does this make you think that this type of thing is going to stay going forward, especially with the f talk now that there's been, as we've seen on Twitter and everything, about expansion, that maybe the playoff format's going to change a little bit to accommodate more teams, and that the selecting now, especially let's say Montreal loses to Minnesota again, and now the team selecting the their opponent goes 0 for 3. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, so number one, I do like the rule. I hope it doesn't change, regardless of what how expansion in the playoff format is revamped when we go to when the league goes to, let's say it's 12 teams next year. But and then of course, so you're gonna have to have at least six, if not eight teams in the playoffs. I mean, if it's 12 teams, do I see a 1 versus 8 quarterfinal bracket series? Sure, why not? But now with that now when I say 1 versus 8, or does that mean that number one gets to choose the number 8 seed type of thing? That'd be really interesting. And I hope I like between Amy and Jaina, like I talk about them like we're going clubbing later, but between Amy Sheer and Jaina Hefford, I like what they've done in terms of the innovation, in terms of the jailbreak rule, the no escape rule, the gold plan, and ch choosing. I hope it stays. And whether or not the upset has any impact in terms of like Minnesota upsetting Toronto in 2024, Minnesota upsetting Montreal last year, and whatever happens this year type of thing. And I'll bring this up because, okay, yeah, upsets are going to happen, but let's look at the entire PWHL playoffs as a whole in the six playoff series that have been played in the 2 years. Interesting quirk. The lowest seed has won not just the choice series, not just the one picking three or one picking four. The lowest seed has won every single playoff series in the six. So, like that 1 versus 3, who you choose, it doesn't matter, because even in the in the default series, the lowest seed won anyway. So it's just been a thing of upsets, and then here we are, Minnesota, as like the squeaker in the playoffs, has come out of this with two Walter Cups. And so as to whether that's going to happen this year, I'm not sure. So if we're going to segue into whether was this the best choice for Montreal, I would say yes. I mean, why not? It's like, basically you've got the choice between, Minnesota or Ottawa. Well, they swept the season series against Minnesota, and they took 3 out of 4 against Ottawa. So it's very close. I mean, they couldn't go wrong with either selection. And I mean, logic would dictate just pick the team that you swept, unless there's some, mitigating factor that, in a hypothetical situation, let's say Minnesota had, been absent, Coyne Schofield and Taylor Heise in those 4 games, and now they're coming back. Yeah, if there's some mitigating factor, which I'm being hypothetical, that did not happen here. I mean, those games had the teams in the full lineup. If anything, if memory serves me correctly, Marie-Philippe Poulin was in the lineup for the first 2 games, Montreal versus Minnesota, but absent for the games 3 and 4 against Minnesota. So, that's not a factor. Pick the team that you've swept against the team, as opposed to the team that you've taken 3 out of 4. It was not a terrible choice. And yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
All right. And then going into the series itself, what are some of the things, as you mentioned, Montreal swept Minnesota in the regular season series. There's always a saying that the playoffs is a whole nother animal. What you did in the regular season does not matter in the playoffs. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to in a Minnesota Montreal semifinal matchup?
I'm just thinking about the Montreal using their body, and then just seeing how they seem to get, pushed around in the previous two playoffs, such that last time I was on, You had me talk about some of the moves that they made on the off season, and in terms of the identity, I think it's just a matter of getting players who are going to throw their weight around a bit around. And of course, I'm like I said, for example, I mentioned Abby Rock off the beginning, right? A physical player, who's like a different type of player than Kristen O'Neal, the player that she was swapped for. But if you get Abby Rock into that mold playing on the first line, and then you get, unsung hero, if you're gonna ask, well, I'm gonna segue into a bit of both, but
You're going to go into my second question right off the bat. There you go.
defender, Maggie Flaherty, maybe not a household name, but you look at her 35 penalty minutes, and it's like this is all about, getting names like Maggie Flaherty, Abby Rock, put in, former Scepter Haley Skamura's name in there, and they're just getting Montreal to play with this identity of like sandpaper, and that's where it's going to that's where I see this going. It's like, Montreal just, standing up to their counterparts in Minnesota and just playing more of a physical grind series. And I think that complemented by if you're a Montreal fan and you're hoping that the best player in the world, Marie-Philippe Poulin, is healthy enough to make to dominate the way that she can, then that's where, I mean, that's where if that's where history doesn't you have to throw history out the window. When maybe I was leading it out to the first point where it's like, yes, Minnesota, unsung heroes, all the credit to them for winning two Walter Cups, but are you going to let superstition, decide your first pick, or the team your I'm sorry, the team that you're going to pick? Or I mean, and credit to the Frost, and they could surprise us again. They could be, oh, the squeaker, let's just, take the world by storm when it comes to April. But Montreal picking Minnesota still gives them the best chance to win, and I think Montreal can, prevail in this series by using that sandpaper type of game.
Right. And then you bring up Abby Rock, you bring up Maggie Flattery, you bring up Haley Skamura, and you've mentioned this about Flaherty, about like the 35 penalty minutes. Is that something to be concerned about in a way, being how she's taken 35 PIMs, Abby took 31 and Haley took 20. Like, one thing obviously you don't want to do is take a lot of penalties and then end up in the penalty box, which gives Minnesota opportunities. So what's one of the big things there? Like, just look, and I'm just looking at the stats of these three players that you mentioned. What do they need to do to keep playing that style of game but not go into the penalty box as much to give
Well, it's
Minnesota
a
those
double-edged sword,
opportunities?
right? It's taking smart penalties, right? And it's just these are the things that don't show up on a score sheet, where that's where the coaches, and the armchair critics like myself have to sit back and say, like, was that a good penalty take? I mean, like, and I guess, covering hockey in Toronto for as long as I have, if I can use an NHL analogy, and maybe listeners might be who know where I'm going with this, Nazem Kadri, it's like, he'd be the only guy to like stand up on some of those Leaf teams that were getting pushed around and whatnot. But I mean, at Nazem, at the same time, like, I mean, you got to be smart about it. You can't be like, you're cross-checking Boynton, or I can't remember the Bruins defender, in the face like that, and just going off the edge. So I mean, if you're gonna take a penalty, like, go ahead and take the penalty and show that your team is not going to be pushed around, but take it at the right time. Don't be stupid about it. Be situational about it. You can't, know what the score is, and know when to not cross the line and go overboard, like Nazem was wont to do during his days as a Maple Leaf.
Yeah, so I want to switch the conversation over to the goaltending real quick for the Victoire. Anne-Renée Desbien, another amazing season this season. She played 25 games for Montreal, 19 wins, 4 losses, 2 in overtime, 7 shutouts, a 1.11 goals against average, which is 0.06 better than Frankel. And a 0.955 save percentage, which is a 0.002 better than Frankel as well. When you look at Desbien, obviously one thing for her is that she wants revenge for, and change the narrative for the playoffs this year, especially, losing in the gold medal game to the US, lost last year to Ottawa, got bounced out, before couldn't make it to the championship game series or round last year. So for Desbien, great regular seasons, but hasn't been able to get over that hump, at least in these in the past year. Do you see this being a statement series for her?
Absolutely. Chip on her shoulder, especially the motivation for losing that overtime game in the Olympics. And just historically, it's like, Debian is, you could say it's a microcosm of the Montreal Victoire or organization as a whole, starting with it starts at the top with Daniel Sauvageau, most recent Hall of Fame builder, where she did all those things with the Team Canada and was part of all those world championships, and then trickling down to the captain, Marie-Philippe Poulin, who's she's not only going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame upon her first year of eligibility, she's going to have a wing in the museum named after her. What more can you say about Poulin? But between Sam Sauvageau, between Poulin and Anne-Renée Debien, what is the thing that is missing from their resume? It is a Walter Cup championship, so it's that chip on their shoulder that is going to motivate like everyone in that organization from the top down. And Debian, like when you bring up the numbers, it's like very very close between Frankel and Debian, but it's just where there was like we said, eight shutouts versus seven, the numbers just bear like it's just such a tight race. But it's like Frankel is my if you're looking at the MVP nominees, it's got to be Frankel, Debien, and then you got to put in the top scorer in there, Kelly Pönk for Minnesota, right? But I just think Frankel's got that slight edge. It might be Olympic bias, but the point is Frankel does have that gold medal to show for it. Eight shutouts versus seven by the thinnest of margins. It is like Frankel over Debien, and that's but Debien might prove us all wrong, but you're like you can't go wrong with her in net if you're Montreal.
So switching over from Montreal to Minnesota, talking about goaltending, was a 50-50. You had Matty Rooney, who played 16 games, had 9 wins, 5 losses, two losses in overtime, 1 shutout with a 2.04 goals against average and a 0.921 save percentage. And then you had Nicole Hensley, who was in 13 games, won 7 games, lost 4, lost 2 in overtime, and had 1 shutout as well, with a 2.69 goals against average and a 0.908 save percentage. Obviously, with Rooney playing 3 more games than Hensley, you would assume that Rooney would be the starter for the Frost. But how would you look at Minnesota's goaltending right now going into the series against Montreal?
Well, it's solid, and it's be having covered the Scepters, for the past 3 seasons, and in the first 2 seasons, going up against Minnesota both times. It's like you look at the other end, and whether it's Hensley or Rooney, if you're a Scepters supporter, you know that you're in a tough fight, because Minnesota, they might not necessarily have either of the best individual goaltenders in the league, but they have the best tandem. It's like, if one goes down, then the other one can just pick it up right away, and they've got two Walter Cups to show for it. So it's a toss up. It's a pick 'em, and it's a great balance for that organization to have in the in, like in a worst case scenario. If one of them were to go down for whatever reason, you've got that 1B who's just as capable. Even though, they might not be up for any individual goaltending awards, but when you look at the best tandem, the whole being the sum of the parts, Minnesota is and has been the best at that position in the PWHL for the past 3 years.
So, looking at the Minnesota Frost as a whole, who do you see as maybe some of their unsung heroes this season? We know, or for this series, because we know that Kelly Panic is one to watch, Taylor Heisey is one to watch, Kendall Coyne Schofield's another one to watch. Who are some players that you've seen that you think could, bring an impact to this series that nobody's probably going to see coming? or nobody probably would think would they would see coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll throw in a couple names. I mean, I've been impressed in the games I've covered at the Coca Coliseum when Minnesota is visiting. Abby Hustler, and maybe it's just because of her name, but it's like she. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm trying to avoid the pun here, but I mean, it's like, Hustler has been playing on. Has been a top six forward, and I just noticed as a player who, lives up to that name. No, I'm not going to make the pun, but I'm going to put Abby Hustler's name in there. And it's the thing about Minnesota is, like, I mean, yes, rightfully all the focus tends to be on Panic and Heise and Bidikal, all these great Olympians, who register the points. But then when you especially, like I said, when Toronto would play against Minnesota and all these uns it would always be an unsung hero that will come out of nowhere, and it's maybe it's like recency bias or whatever, but a name like Claire Buderak, who just third, fourth line four, bottom six, this past year, I'm looking up at her stats, excuse me, and has gone three assists, no goals in 30 games, but to her credit, one goal in the 2024 playoffs, playing for Minnesota. But it was that playoff overtime winner that just, speaks to the balance of the team. Like, any team to be successful in the playoffs, doesn't matter which sport it is, you need your unsung heroes to come up. You need your depth players to come up. And in hockey, it'll be your third and fourth line forwards. A player like Claire Buderak, will fly under the radar and compile all of three assists for, the regular season, and then just come out of nowhere and say, "Hey, I'm going to score this goal, and it's going to be have an impact," and that'll just speak to the balance that that the Minnesota Frost have. I mean, it's like I think there's huge competition, of course, for it's going to be hard to three-peat, but if the first two seasons have taught us anything, then it's like they can't be discounted. I mean, I'm still picking Montreal in this series. I'm going to say Montreal in four, maybe, because I think Minnesota just faded down to this too much down the stretch, and based on that momentum slide, I don't know if they can pick it up in time, but then historically they've proven me wrong the past two seasons, so why should this year be any different, right? So I will say Montreal in four, but who knows.
Yeah, and of course, game one between Minnesota and Montreal will be at 2 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, May 2nd, which later that evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, Ottawa and Boston will take place for game two. So again, today is the opening of the PWHL Walter Cup playoffs with Ottawa taking on Boston. Rob, this has been a fun conversation as always.
As always, man.
Where can the people find you on social medias?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is Rob underscore Del Mundo, Delmundo. Yeah, I don't know if my direct messages are open this week, but yeah, just shoot
It's
me
on
an
a
at.
week-to-week basis, how you're
I
feeling. Do
don't
I
know,
want
week to
people
week
do I
basis.
want people to message me today, or do I not want people to message me today?
Social media is just such a cesspool, but no. Rob underscore Del Mundo on Twitter. I think my DMs are open on Facebook and Instagram. Just give me a shout, and yeah, I'll go from there.
All right, of course you write for hockeyhotstove.com as well, and you can find me at @thelindenbaum75 on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, crying in the fetal position somewhere underneath my desk. Okay, maybe not that last one. You can't find that on social media, but you can also follow TXHT at TXHT underscore hockey. That's for all social media. And then, of course, go to TXHTHockey.com for this episode, plus all the other episodes that we've done for the More Phenomenal Hockey Show, and on YouTube at T which is TXHT Hockey on YouTube. So with that, I am Michael. He is Rob. The PWHL Walter Cup playoffs are going to be underway now, which is an exciting time. It is a lot of fun hockey. If you've never watched the PWHL playoffs at all, now's the time to start doing it. It's all up on YouTube if you're not in one of the markets. So go on YouTube, watch it. It is 100% worth it. So with that, until next time, we will see you on the ice.